May we close our eyes and I'll pray. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and tongue and language, people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. We are thankful, our God, to come before you this morning. We stand before you, O God, in awe, that, O God, you are willing to incline your ear to hear our worship and praise. And you are also willing, O God, to speak to us even this morning. Help us, O God, to grasp the truth that comes from your word. Help us, O God, to worship you in spirit and truth, that we may obey your word, O God. Teach us, O God, your ways in the name of Jesus. We ask all these things. Open our hearts. Open our minds, our understanding, O God, this morning. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we all say Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I greet you, brethren, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I must confess to you that the message I am bringing to you today, I didn't want to bring it. And I'll tell you the reasons why. It's because the passage we're going to read this morning, I preached already 3 times in this church in the period of 2 years. So you can see that I jumped it and now we are going back. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that we have new people in the church. That's why we're going back to this passage. And the other reason is that the other people, the older people, meaning the people who have been here for long, maybe they've forgotten the importance of the subject that we will be looking at this morning. So, listen carefully, learn, and let's help each other and help others to understand. So please turn in your Bibles then to Matthew chapter 3. And we read this morning, verse 5 and 6. And the title of the message, obeying the message. We read from
verse 5 to verse 6.
Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. We're reading verse 5 and 6. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. As we approach this passage this morning, I think we should remind each other that actually Matthew's purpose, the writer of the book, is to show how John prepares the way for the Lord. And at the same time, we see that the people themselves, those who came to John, Matthew is revealing to us how they prepared their own hearts in receiving or prepared their own hearts for the way of the Lord themselves. I know that many of you are eager, really eager to move forward to the other verses. We want to see Jesus in action. The last time we saw Jesus was in chapter 2 and he was 3 years old. We want to see Jesus in action. But it's very important for us to go back to basics and see really that even before Jesus was in action, he began by obedience, obeying God, and he was in submission to God. We read that in verse number 13. For now, we want to see the importance of obedience. That's why the title is obeying the message. So, if Jesus obeyed God then, so it is necessary for us to obey. In verse 13 it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. So obedience is very important. We see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can remember when John and Peter were stopped from preaching the gospel. They asked the leaders of Jerusalem. They said to them, who must we obey? We must obey God rather than men. They're showing that obedience is the golden rule for all men, is the golden rule in all circumstances, in all times. God must be obeyed. Then once you have received that commission, once you have received the commandments from God, you dare not lay it down for the sake of men and for the sake of self-desires. So obedience then becomes the initial evidence of your union with Christ Jesus our Lord. You begin to do in contrary to what Adam did as it is obeyed God. Remember, Adam fell and the whole human race fell with him. So when you begin to obey God, you do in contrary to that human nature of disobeying God. And if that's the case then, if we want to obey God then, the question that stands this morning, one simple question, to be or not to be? To be baptized or not to be baptized? I am aware that most of you maybe have been baptized where you come from, but the question still remains. Why did you get baptized? Did you qualify for that baptism?
Now,
does that baptism mean something special to you even today? Or it is something forgotten, something of the past? Some of you, I am aware that they are not baptized. Is it important? Does Jesus prefer you to be baptized or he commands you to be baptized? Friends, we are aware of the misconceptions and the misunderstanding when it comes to the issue of baptism. There are those who think they are saved because they have been baptized. And there are those who are really saved, but they will not be baptized. So to appreciate our subject this morning, there are three relevant questions that I want us to answer this morning on basis of verses 5 and 6. These questions will help us to obey the message of repentance if we have believed. Question number one. Who should be baptized? In verse 5 and 6, it says, they came to John and they were baptized and they confessed their sins. So they obeyed the message of John, the message of repentance. So as you look at this verse, you realize that then repentance is an effect or a byproduct of believing. It is a byproduct of faith, it is a byproduct or the effect of trusting and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see. They believed. They were baptized. They confessed their sins. Did you see that? But I can tell you now, there's one thing missing here. I think that is the same thing that is missing in our lives in most cases. It's not three. I said they believe, they are baptized, they confess. But there is one more here. They believed. They obeyed. They baptized. And then they confessed their sins. That's the one little thing that we always seem to forget. The obedience. The Bible says they came to John. And then their repentance produced obedience. So, and we have seen last week that without the baptism with the Spirit, without being born of God, one cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
So,
so what I want us to see this morning is that water baptism is just a demonstration of what has already taken place, what has already happened in your heart. It's a demonstration. A public and a visual demonstration that now you are cleansed from within. So, looking at this verse, we're looking at verse 5. It says, look carefully in verse number 5. There's one way that is very important there. It says, then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about Jordan we're going out to him. Remember, we're trying to answer the question, who should be baptized? It says, all Jerusalem, all Judea, all the regions, they came to join.
I think there's
a principle that we need to understand first. Something that we need to learn. When the Bible says all, the Bible, when it says all, it does not mean everybody. It does not mean every person. That is very important. Because you can think very careful. King Archelaus, the son of Herod, did not go to John. The high priest did not go to John. Mary and Joseph and Zachariah and Elizabeth did not go to John for baptism. So when the Bible says all, it speaks of a multitude of people, a number that cannot be counted. Of a number of people, a people from every sphere of life. So those people, they came because they heard the message of John and they believed it and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. So those who were baptized are those
who believe.
Those who are willing to forsake the past and start a new life. They have put it upon themselves to obey the message of God, the message preached by John the Baptist. And if we say then those who must be baptized, or those who are baptized, are those who believe, then it is obvious that baptism does not save. So what should motivate then the believer to be baptized? That water baptism becomes the reflection of what the Lord has already done within your hearts. He has cleansed you. Yes. The Lord has washed you with the water of the gospel. So as you go down, you are reminded that Christ died for you on the cross. Christ died for you on the cross to bring to an end your old life, the life of sin, the life of slavery. Who must be baptized? Those who have believed the message of repentance. Let's read here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Listen what the Apostle Paul says here to the church. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So baptism is your public declaration that you have been united with Christ and you are walking in the newness of life. Baptism says you have died with Christ, and certainly it gives you that surety that you will be raised with him. I'm talking about you being raised now at the end of the age. So that is what you are displaying publicly as you go down and you are immersed in the water. It should give you a picture of your sins being washed away. As you are being taken up the water, it must give you a picture of your future resurrection. So who must be baptized? Those who have died with Christ. Those who have believed in him. The question that one can ask, have you believed in him? Have you died with him? Will you also be raised from the dead as he was raised from the dead? Another thing that we see, brethren, is that if baptism is for the believers, then the Bible does not leave room for infant baptists. Of infant baptism. There is no room for those who cannot recognize their sins to be baptized. Those who cannot confess their sins. The Bible tells us that they came to John in believing the message. They were baptized and they confessed to their sins. One must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One must be able to recognize his or her personal sin and then lay it upon Christ, who took it up to the cross and he was nailed there for our sins. So this is really a call to those who were falsely baptized. Those who were baptized before they were in Christ. Those who were baptized before they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were baptized without genuine spiritual transformation within their hearts. Those who were baptized without recognizing that baptism is actually a public recognition of the blessing of God, the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have not realized that baptism was the confirmation that a new life has begun. That is why I asked the question. Does that baptism, if you look back, does it remind you of something that happened inside your heart? Does it remind you, if you think of your baptism, does it remind you that a transformation took place within your heart? Does it remind you that God gave you a blessing of eternal life? It will be difficult to be reminded if you were baptized before you believed. That is why it is important that we answer this question carefully. Who must be baptized? It is those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you, my friends, you can join the church, you can sing in the choir, you can serve in the church, but if you have not given your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, it serves for nothing. If you do not have the testimony of a new life, when we are immersed in that water, it is a proof or it is a public declaration of your sins being washed away. Water baptism itself does not wash away the sin, but it tells us that you are saying something happened within your heart. And has something happened within your heart? That is the question. Well, maybe someone is asking then, saying, but I have been a Christian for so long and I have never been baptized. Is it too late for me?
Now,
let me give you an answer. One writer says, delayed obedience is better than disobedience. I remember when we think of this issue of obedience, I remember a story told by one Zambian pastor. He says, his father taught his son to obey him. And then he taught his son also to obey God.
And
then he says he took his son one day. They went to the fields and they were going there to steal maize. Then when they were there, he said to his son, I will go and I will fill up the bag. You stand here and you must watch from the south, the north, the west, and the east. And the son was willing to obey his father. He says, yes, Dad, I will stand and I will watch. Before the father leaves with his bag to go and fill it up, the son says, but Dad, I can watch all sides. But what about that side? He was pointing up unto the heaven. How can I watch the one who's already watching what we are doing? The father took his son and he went back home. So to this son, it was better to obey God. His obedience was delayed. He was already at the field to steal. But that delayed obedience was better than disobedience. So what am I saying? If you have believed, you still need to be baptized. But maybe the question is, why? Is it important? But well, that should be simple by now. As you look here in verse number 6, it says, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 6 tells us that you should be baptized because you have been affected by the message from God. These people, they were coming because they were affected by the message. We have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have turned away from sin. We have experienced something new within your hearts. Something unique and something supernatural. Something that you yourself cannot explain. You have separated yourself from sinners. You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why you must be baptized. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Listen what, verse number 38. This is during the preaching of the Apostle Peter. If you read there, you will see that during this sermon, the people asked. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? And the Bible tells us that Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. So, the issue of baptism really tells us that you are being baptized because you have resolved within your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have resolved within your heart that you are a sinner and He is the one who has saved you. Your baptism comes as a public testimony that you are born of God. That God's wonderful and marvelous work has taken place in your heart. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Acts 8, verse 12. It says,
But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. So my friends, you are baptized, or you should be baptized, because you have believed the message and you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ.
There
is another beautiful illustration here in the book of 1 Peter. A very beautiful illustration.
1
Peter chapter
3.
We read from verse 20 to
21. Verse 20 to 21. Eric, kime ya eneng esaka ya mamela mudimu. Hayena ane ay mamelete halilelele misheng eo nuwe ane ahaha areka kayona. Ka areka batumba kaifera ene mba ba robedi ba ile ba pulosa metsing metsi ana ke setshwantsho sa kolobetso e re pholosang jwale kolobetso a se o tlhatsiwa ditsila ka mmele empa ke go itlama go modimo ka letswalo le go tuteng e le pholosa ka tsogo ya Jesu Kriste.
What Peter does first, he exposes the problem that we are trying to expose today. He says here, yeah, they formally did not obey. So, let me read it. Because they formally did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now serves you not as a removal of death from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what Peter is saying here is that water brought judgment to the people because of disobedience, the water of the past. But the same water lifted up the ark to safety. I'm going to repeat. It's a very important point. Because of disobedience, water came as judgment to the people. It destroyed the people. But the same water carried up the ark to safety. So we see here a picture of water taking up the Christian after the Christian is being dipped or immersed in the water. But as it comes up, you see a picture of a Christian being lifted up then unto safety. So water baptism speaks of your being safe. We have passed through the waters of judgment. Let's listen to what the Apostle Paul also says to the church.
You
see, we're reading many verses today. You can see we can't teach. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 2.
Bana ba sekereta a le tseba gore ba baholoholo botlhe ba rona ba ne ba tsamaiswa ke leru mme botlhe ba tshela lewatle botlhe ba kolobetswa lerung le lewatleng gore e be balatedi ba moshe.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and at the sea. the picture that we have here, what the Apostle Paul is saying here, is that the water of Moses, the Red Sea, was opened that it may provide a path for Israel to walk to safety.
So, as we
want to apply this thing to us, what we get is that we ourselves, brethren, we as a new Israel of God, those who have come to God through the new Exodus in Jesus Christ, now they pass through water to safety. I'm trying to prove the same point from two different texts.
So,
as you jump into the water,
and
you are immersed into the water, you are saying, I am safe. I'm on my way home. But you are not just saying that publicly, you are declaring what is within the heart. So I am secure from the powers of sin and Satan. Whatever the devil may do right now, it is all temporal. Because I am saved by the power of Jesus. My guilt is washed away and I am free.
Yeah,
that is why I'm declaring. If your guilt is washed away, you have publicly declared that by being immersed in the water. Let me ask the last question. I said three. There's plenty of questions, but I chose three. The last question. Does water baptism require church membership? In other words, did Jesus save you to be part of a people, or did Jesus save you to just to let you remain a standalone person, a person under no authority? I think that is very simple to answer, brothers. If you have been listening very carefully, it's very simple. If we believe that when you are baptized by the Spirit of God, you are placed into Jesus.
How do men learn into a how polobes against Moyahalela about your carolo and to Jesu?
If we believe that when we are born again, we are placed in the body of Christ,
how do men learn into a how polos about to enter into Miloato Christ?
Then it is quite simple that to understand that also when I'm born again, then Jesus must place me in a visible body of Christ. You see, when we are saved, we are being placed in the universal body of Christ. We become part of the global church. You become part of the church of the people who are alive now and the people who are already passed away. But is that all? I don't think so. 3 weeks ago, we read from Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 47. What we see there in Acts chapter 2 is that when the people believed, the Bible says they believed, they came together, they shared everything together, they shared even in the teachings of the apostle, and the Lord added in their number those who were been saved. So what I'm saying is that conversion is linked to baptism. And baptism is linked to church membership. And the very same conversion then, it provides the fruit of obedience. Conversion calls to the heart of the believer to obey the word of God. Conversion makes sure that the Christian realizes that he is not saved to be a street kid, someone who does not belong anywhere. I'm talking about spiritual
street kid.
Someone who is saved but does not have a home. And I can hear the question now. But I have a home.
I
have a home in Swaziland. I have a home, meaning a spiritual home, a church. Let me tell you what was happening in the past. Those who moved from one area to another, they were given letters of recommendation that they may go and belong to a local church and be fed spiritually. That they may be under submission and authority of the church. So, believers are one wherever they are. So if you move from one area to another, you must still be in submission to the word of God and the authority of the gospel. But then, let me close by asking this question, my friend. Is that you? Are you born of God? Are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you united with Christ Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Has the message of the gospel affected you from within your heart? Have you experienced spiritual transformation already? Have you enjoyed that beautiful picture of someone being taken from the garbage of sin unto the marvelous light of God? Someone being snatched from darkness unto the light of God? Have you declared publicly of what has already happened within your heart? Even those who have been baptized already, does your life continue to display publicly that you have been born of God? Are you continuing to live in this life in the light of the gospel, in the light of God? Do you continue to shine your light for others to see the good works of the Lord and praise your God who is in heaven? Does your baptism remind you that you must live in this world displaying of what has already taken place? This morning, are you reminded of that great privilege that you have been saved? As I'm speaking to you, are you reminded? Do you look back in the day when you were baptized and says, yes, I remember. I jumped in that water and I was made one with the triune God. Are you reminded that you made a vow As you jump into water, you made a vow that you will work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Do you remember that vow? Do you remember when you said, Lord, I do? I believe. I have faith in Jesus. Do you remember that? Is that how you live? Will you then obey this message? Those who are not baptized, will you be baptized? Would you come out to declare that you and God are one? Those who are already been baptized, will you obey this message? Will you look back and then continue to live in accordance to the life that you vowed you will live? Will you submit to the Lord, to His weight? It is seen when they are going through baptism. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord, for your ways, Lord. We thank you that we are reminded, Lord, that we have died with you, Lord. And if we have died with you, we will be raised with you, O Lord. We pray, Lord, that those amongst us, Lord, who are not baptized, Lord, that they may see the need of this public proclamation, Lord, of this union between us and you, union in death and union in a resurrection, O Lord. And those who have been baptized, Lord, that you may continue to live a holy life, Lord. You may continue to live a life that is consistent with this public proclamation that we made on that day of our baptism, O Lord. May you help us, Lord, as a church, to be a church that obeys your word, Lord. To be a church that does what your word says, Lord. We give you praise and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.